Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. We continue to examine 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And the mystery and mastery of prayer. We started into that subject and to an examination of that particular text on the broadcast yesterday, and we will continue doing so today. 1 John 5:14 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us, or rather, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." And I am looking at several elements in this text. First of all, confidence in prayer. Second, petitions of prayer. And third, God's will in prayer. These are, I think, the key elements to understanding this text. And we go back, first of all, to confidence in prayer, which is where we started yesterday. And we want to talk, first of all, about the source of our confidence, and secondly, the definition, the substance of this confidence. The source of our confidence is our relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, a saving relationship with Christ is necessary to have a standing with God in prayer, and to have confidence before God in prayer, we have to have a biblical-based assurance of salvation. And so this text, verse 14, is linked to the verse in front of it, the one on assurance of salvation. "These things I have written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Now, or and, in addition to this, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." And so this prayer promise of verse 14 is predicated upon a, number one, a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, and number two, an assurance of that relationship. Because those who are not saved have no prayer standing with God, whether they realize that or not. But number two, those who are troubled about assurance of salvation recognize that they cannot be confident in their approach to God in prayer. But if you have a biblical-based assurance of salvation, if you know yourself to be a child of God, then you have or ought to have confidence in prayer. But there's more, and we'll take that up again in just a moment after I welcome you to this Tuesday, February 19 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank our radio listeners for your financial consideration in regard to this station, which is the only way that we can continue this ministry. The source of confidence is based upon assurance of eternal life in verse 13. But what is this confidence? Well, the word confidence could just as accurately be translated assurance. Now, this is the assurance that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Or this word could also accurately be translated boldness. Now, this is the boldness that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. This links us back to a previous statement in John chapter 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So, in chapter 3, a similar statement about prayer, a similar encouragement to pray, a similar promise relating to prayer, and a similar confidence or boldness to approach God in prayer. And most of us are familiar with the text in Hebrews 4:16. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I quote that text a lot. I don't know about you, but I quote that text a lot. I quote that text quite often in my prayers. Lord, I'm obeying your word. I'm coming boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I need that. I need help. I need mercy. I need grace. And I'm coming boldly, not presumptuously, but I'm coming in the boldness that Christ supplies to his true children and that your word encourages me to have. Though my thoughts about you, O God, and your greatness, your majesty, your holiness would cause me to be timid about coming. Nevertheless, the promises that I have in the gospel about having a standing before your throne that is equal to that of your own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because by your amazing grace I am clothed in his righteousness, and therefore in my standing, not in my nature, but in my standing before you, I am just as righteous as he is, and that gives me confidence, that gives me assurance, that gives me boldness to come before the throne of God in prayer. And so this confidence is grounded in our relationship with God, and it gives us confident access to the invisible, eternal, almighty creator of this universe. And this confidence is based upon God's word, God's promises. It's not based upon sentimentality. Far too much of modern-day Christianity is based upon sentimentalism. We get the cart before the horse. We let our emotions, our sentiments, guide us and drive us, and they tend to mislead us because we've got it backwards. We have to let truth lead us and guide us, and truth exercised will bring appropriate emotional responses, but they come up behind the truth that is leading and guiding us. And so our access to the throne of God in confidence in prayer is based upon God's word. That gives us boldness, not the way we feel about it. If we understand the relationship, if we understand who God is and who we are, we probably won't feel very bold. The more we think about who God is and who I am, the more our confidence will be shaken. We'll wonder if we can approach such a God in prayer, but his own word assures us that we can. We have a standing that has been given to us by grace. We don't earn this standing. If our standing before God were based upon our merit, then our standing would be a very shaky one indeed. In fact, it would be no standing at all. But our standing has been provided for us, provided to us by God's grace. He has given us this standing, and to fail to come, to refuse to come, to be reluctant to come to his throne in prayer is tantamount to unbelief. It is saying, I don't believe your promises. I don't accept what you have said. I don't fully embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that I have a righteous standing with you because of him. It is to doubt God. It is to insult God. But with this knowledge of God's word and his own promises, we can come boldly. We come with confident reverence, both confidence and reverence. I think the well-known prayer of Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 provides a pretty good guideline for what I'm trying to talk about here in our confidence with reverence with which we approach God. Abraham was very confident. He was very bold in asking God as he was, you remember, bargaining with God. Lord, don't destroy Sodom, as God said he was going to do. If there are 50 righteous there, would you spare the city? Yes. If there are 40, would you spare the city? Yes. If there are 30, would you spare the city? Yes. And Abraham kept, as it were, bargaining downward. But notice with what reverence. You'll have to go back and look at it, but it's very instructive. He did it with such deference, such reverence. There was a holy boldness, but there was a godly reverence involved in that praying. I am going to turn back to it and read it because it's so very, very instructive. The men turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood still before the Lord, and Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for the lack of 5? So he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. Do you hear the reverence, the acknowledgement of his own worthlessness, his own, he is dust and ashes. He's not coming with an arrogant boldness. He's not coming with a cockiness. He's coming with a reverent boldness. He spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40. He said, I will do it for the 40's sake. Then he said, Lord, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. Then he said, I let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Study that passage, study that prayer, and you'll get a sense of what I'm talking about here. Reverent confidence, confidence with humility, confidence with reverence, confidence with a full acknowledgement, a full understanding of who I'm talking to and who I am, who it is that is talking to the great and majestic God of the universe. But nevertheless, because of his word, because of his promises, because of his grace, I come with boldness to the very throne of the God of the universe. What a privilege. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.